Hey there, everybody. This is Baco from the Cobras and Fire podcast. And I'm not going to lie to you people. The first time I listened to the Shout Out Loud cast, I actually downloaded it accidentally trying to find the latest episode of Censorship. There was a little serendipity in that for me, though, because it turns out I prefer assholes over douchebags. With that said, you're listening to the Shout Out Loud cast featuring Tom and Zeus.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. Zeus, I'm going to go get the paper, What are we talking about this week? What are we doing?
We're going to break down and talk about mob movies, mafia movies, gangster movies, and what the kind of difference is and which ones we prefer. And just throw 10 each.
You're talking probably 10.
And although the Jerky Boys, the movie is,
it's not a mob movie. By the way, the conversation that Zeus and I were having before we started recording, we're like, oh, let's do this. Then it's like, well, no, let's do this. Let's just do this.
It's me. I'm way too, like, I overanalyze it. He's like, let's just do mob movies. So I'm like, okay, what about this? Is this? And he's like, no. Oh, how about this? I feel this is. Oh, no. What the fuck? It just.
That's what I said. I go, we're not going to confuse Goodfellas with Menace to Society. Don't drink your juice by being a fucking boys in the, whatever the hell that parody is. But. I mean, so we're talking about, I mean, look.
So you mean not, Deep Cover isn't going up against The Godfather?
Great song. Dre and Snoop.
Ah, the greatest.
But Zeus and I have a lot of things in common. This is one of them. Crime, drama, movies, mob movies, mafia movies. And some people have different definitions of, is a gangster movie a mob movie? Some of them are, but not all of them are. You know?
Yeah, so mafia, mafioso.
Mafioso.
Yeah.
Cosa Nostra.
Yeah, it's very similar in Italian, and it's very similar, I say it in Greek, mafioso.
Yeah.
Is the same word. And that's, I think of mafia, I think of the Italian mob.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we're talking about movies, you think of mob guys and mobsters and gangsters. Scarface comes to mind. That's Cuban. Then yeah. You've got like a great movie like Eastern Promises, which is... Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different stuff. Or the Steven Seagal great Hard to Kill with the Jamaican Gang.
Or you also have that horrendous movie called Mobsters. Oh, that's like if New Kids on the Block made a mob movie. Terrible.
It actually has some of the plot, which is the real plot of what happened in the founding of the five families.
Oh, no, I know, but it's not made well.
Yeah, it's in the middle of like a gangster shooting. I think Richard Grieco stops and his tooth shines. Ding.
But you're right. You have Godfather, you have Goodfellas, but then you have stuff like American Gangster with Denzel Washington. You have Heat, right? With Val Kilmer, De Niro, Pacino. Like,
how about the British ones? You have Layer Cake. One of my favorites of all time, Snatch.
Yep.
Which is fucking hilarious.
How about, I mean, you know, we'll probably make a list like we always do, but just, one of my all-time favorites and tremendously underrated because it was the victim of horrendous release time, came out 5 days after Goodfellas, State of Grace, about Hell's Kitchen and the Irish mob with Sean Penn and Ed Harris and Gary Oldman. The movie's in unbelievable. It is so good. Every time I recommend that, people are like, I never heard of this. I'm like, yeah, because it came out 5 days after Goodfellas and it just got buried.
It's like Full Metal Jacket coming out right after Platoon.
Full Metal Jacket's better than Platoon.
Yeah, no. No, it's not. It just has that whole like half an hour segment of Private Pile. It's the only great part of that.
Hey, Joker.
What's he saying? Your mother, your parents have any kids that live?
I never seen shit stacked that high. What is your... See, that'll be our next thing. We'll do war movies.
Yeah. Your days of fingering... What's her name?
Your days of finger banging Mary Jane Rotten Crotch are over.
That guy, the background of that story is so fucking fantastic that he was just so over the top as like the mentor to fall. They're like, fuck it, put this guy in the movie.
Who, R. Lee Ermey? Didn't he try to turn that into like a reality show? Like he was on like some show?
I don't know, but he took that character and put it into Saving Silverman. Remember that movie?
Don't you dare shit on that movie. That is one of the most tremendously underrated movies ever. All right, we're digressing already. This is what happens. So let's reel it back into mob movies. So I think we're the same age. I think we probably all grew up with, like, The Godfather was pretty much like probably our introduction to like, ooh, what's this? Like people just shooting people because they don't like them. Like, what is this?
Yeah. But even before that, you had the old style gangsters.
Yeah. Like the Jimmy Humphrey Cagney,
Jimmy Cagney, White Heat, which was a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you had those kind of old style, but you know, they try not to be as realistic or ethnic or anything like that. So it was just over the top nonsense. And then they started getting into the real ones. And then The Godfather comes out and changes basically everything. And for me, it's nothing going to touch it. I know we were on the Jericho podcast debating The Godfather versus Goodfellas. I was on the losing end. Only me and Jericho took The Godfather. I think you and a few others took Goodfellas. But to
by a hair, and it depends on my mood.
Yeah, to me, nothing comes close. It's just the storytelling, the classic, everything Shakespearean, the family, the how people treat each other. The Italian mob story is really one of America and immigrants.
Well, that's why The Godfather transcends the genre, because it's ultimately about family. It's about a father and the sons and the brothers.
There are so many themes running throughout that movie.
Yep.
There's so many minor characters. There's so many like little mini stories in there that to me, nothing tops it. So does The Godfather, the only thing I would debate is Godfather 1 versus 2. I'm not sure which one's better, to be honest with you.
I know you watch one of them, you're like, that's the best. Now, it's on an island, but I do think Godfather 3, I think it's become a cliche to say that it's terrible.
Oh, I think it's stupid. I think it's awful to say that. I think it's a great movie.
I do too.
It's not top five movie of all time.
I agree. It's a good fucking movie.
I know he's annoying, Joe Montana.
Oh, he's awesome.
That fucking Joey Zaza character is the fucking best. Dude,
when Andy Garcia comes riding in on that horse, Joey Zaza.
Hey, Joey, is this your car? Who's going to win it? Your uncle? Shinny Satsuki. Hey, who the fuck is this guy?
And I think Pacino's incredible in it. I think he's awesome in it.
I mean, just the whole, even Garcia is incredible.
Oh, he's amazing.
The best is like he's banging, yes, Bridget Fonda.
Yes.
And he hears the noise. He's like, yeah, why don't you get me some glass of water? You get up there. And then he like catches the two guys. And he's like, the one guy, hey, calm down. Don't worry. Just watch this. And he fucking blows his head off.
That scene is incredible. Yeah.
Like, I'll kill her. He's like, what do you think? I give a fuck about this woman.
Yeah, I love it. But I think it's, like I said, it's become such a cliche to shit on because people, obviously, because it's part three, you try to compare it to one and two. You can't do that. It's not fair to that movie.
No, Eli Wallach, a classic actor
from
all those fucking cowboy movies with Clint Eastwood and stuff, but he's not going to be the big bad gangster.
Right.
And Don Attabello is not the scary bad guy.
Right.
But the whole Storytelling is a little bit slower, but it's a great fucking movie.
It is. And they redid it too. They re-released it. It was like, it's like, yeah, Godfather.
The story changed a little at the end.
Yeah, it's like they released a Blu-ray. It's like the Godfather, like the death of Michael Corleone, yeah, or something. So it's apparently what Francis Ford Coppola wanted to release in the theaters. It's a little bit different, but yeah, it's still awesome.
It's one of those things with the smallest little thing can hurt a movie.
Yeah.
Pacino's haircut is just fucking stupid in that movie.
Yeah.
It's just fucking dumb. Well, anyways, yeah. I think Godfather 3 is a top movie.
Me too.
So the next one, the big one, when you think of mobster movies, mafia movies, you go to Goodfellas.
Of course. Yeah. Which changed the game for an entire generation, because I think what Goodfellas added, what Godfather is a serious, dramatic film. Okay. Goodfellas is a serious dramatic film with a shitload of unintentional or intentional comedy and one-liners and characters. And I think that's why people love Goodfellas. And I love Goodfellas. It's on my Mount Rushmore of favorite movies of all time. You watch that movie now, the last like 20 minutes is kind of fucking a little weird. When Ray Liotta is... when he's getting chased by the helicopter and he's getting pinched and he's, you know, his life's about to end and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it goes too much into like the cocaine problem, not the old style mafia. Right.
Exactly.
And the dynamics of all the mobsters against each other and their personalities and stuff. And now it's all about this guy and his paranoia, and you feel like you're on cocaine for the last.
But that being said, every time that movie comes, nowadays, I don't have cable anymore. I just have streaming, but in the days of cable, every time that was on, you're like, I'm watching it. I don't care if it comes on.
Yeah, of course.
30 minutes in or 80 minutes in, I'm watching Goodfellas.
I will tell you, my favorite scene is when they show up at his mother's house and she's talking about the painting. Oh, I like it. One guy's looking this way. He's looking there. Hey, it looks like our friend. Holy shit.
And it looks like somebody we know. And De Niro's like,
without the beard, right? Hey, Henry.
When are you going to settle down with a girl? I settle down with one every night.
you don't talk too much. And she tells the story. But yeah. You don't talk too much. What's the matter with you?
And the best thing about that is that's Scorsese's mom.
Yeah, I know.
And like she's amazing.
Yeah, and she's in a few others. She's in Godfather 3.
Yes. Yeah, I think she's almost in like almost everything. Walking,
hey, they ruined this neighborhood. She's always the mom complaining about the neighborhood being bad. A bunch of murderers.
Yeah. And then you get the quote unquote based or loosely based on a true story. You got stuff like Donnie Brasco, which everybody fucking loves. Then you got The Irishman, which I thought was, that right there is like my favorite director with my three favorite actors all in a friggin' 3.5-hour movie.
Dude, Pacino is so incredible. It's just there's certain parts in the movie.
Yeah.
This is only Scorsese can do it. When they get in the car and they're about to whack fucking Hoffa, and they're talking about the fish.
Yeah.
What kind of fish did you get? I don't know, a fish. What, do you go to the kind of fucking order of fish? And like the seat, the back seat's all fucking, and then De Niro's kind of, no, I'll sit here. And everyone's like, oh, fuck.
That movie, it's incredible. And it's funny because, it's a mob movie, but it's like the Jimmy Hoffa, the Teamsters stuff. So the angle is different from somebody like Donnie Brasco, which is the undercover agent and everything. Just there's just so many different things out there.
So Donnie Brasco, it's funny you say that because I've told you this before. So I don't want to say their name.
Yep.
But one of my paralegals, a friend, I'm still friends with the family. I get a Christmas card from it all the time. He worked for John Connolly. He was one of the agents that was in on the whole Black Mass, Whitey Bulger shit. He was one of the guys that kind of got a little bit in trouble and exchanged gifts with Bulger. His daughters, good friends of mine, worked for me for years. And, there's a lot of fucking fascinating. Donnie Brasco, aka Joe Pistone, used to go and hang out with them because they were both undercover agents with the mob. And I know her father well. He sends me a Christmas card every year. Well, and
it's funny.
That story is so fucked up. And I have a personal attachment to it because I know, because she tells me a lot of the other shit behind the scenes that she knows from her dad, and that stuff, Now you talk about the Irish mob in Boston and in Whitey Bulger, and you got that movie that just came out, Black Mask, where fucking Depp was awesome in it. Just awesome. But that has a lot of Italian mob into it too, with the Irish mob, because they fucking ratted out the Italian mob to get his mob bigger. So that's a lot of fascinating shit. And that translates into Donnie Brasco, which is a question I'm going to pose to you, Tom. And that is,
hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Do you enjoy movies more on the big guns? Or do you enjoy movies about the fucking soldiers and the middle people?
I think the best movies are the kind that kind of tap into both parts of it. You know,
because it's kind of hard. Because look at Pacino,
right?
You see him as the Don, right?
Right, right.
And now you go see him as Donnie Brasco, as kind of like a weak, like middle soldier. That's
right.
Yeah, you know, he's a murderer,
right?
But he's kind of like fucking a joke to some people.
He's a joke to a lot of people in that pool movie. You feel bad for his
He wants to be something, but he's still a professional. Like, he has to do his job.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy that kind of a mob kind of mentality or movie? Or do you enjoy the boss guy telling you, kill him, do this?
I think that, I mean, I disagree with you a little bit. If we back up a little bit, I thought Black Mass was okay.
I like
it. And I think yeah, it was good. I think for us, I mean, people we're in New England, we're in the greater Boston area. I mean, we're right in the backyard of one of the great mobster stories in history, the Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
And those books, I mean, I've read all Howie Carr's books about Whitey, about Stevie the Rifleman, Flemmy, all those books that happened right here, right,
growing up with that shit.
Yeah, a town over from where we grew up.
Yeah.
Fucking Somerville, Mass.
Yeah.
But yeah, but in terms of like those movies like Donnie Brasco. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like The Departed. Like, do we like The Departed? I mean, because I'm going to tell you right now, Scorsese's my all-time favorite director. That movie is tremendously overrated. And I know I'm on an island saying there on that. Good movie, borderline great. But that was a gimme. That was a makeup Academy Award for Scorsese. That movie is, think about it, that's the only Academy Award he's ever gotten for Best Picture. That is ridiculous. Good movie, not a great movie. And the reason I bring that up is because you're talking about Jack Nicholson, who does a terrible job of trying to pretend that he's a Whitey Bulger type character.
Okay, so these are the things that bug me.
Go ahead.
This is a movie that's supposedly about the Irish mob.
You're talking about The Departed.
Correct.
Yeah.
What's the bad guy's name?
Go ahead.
Frank Costello.
Yeah.
One of the biggest mobsters in real life.
Yep.
From New York. Why is the Irish guy named Frank Costello?
The other thing about that movie, too.
What the fuck?
The other thing, I've seen that movie like 100 times. And every time I'm like, wait, what? Why is this guy here? Wait, that guy's doing what? Oh, they threw Martin Sheen off the top of a building. Wait, what? Oh, he became a state police. He became a state trooper. So he could do, I mean, I get it. I understand the movie, but I'm like, it's just too much. Too much, Marty. Too much.
Yeah. And I like The Town. That movie, it's just too Boston-ish.
That's because we're from Boston. We watch it under a different level. I think The Town. I think The Town's fucking amazing.
I'm so upset at you. Like, yeah. It's just like the over the top. And I'm gonna take the kids away. Like, just like fucking stupid shit. Like that.
That's because we grew up with real people like that. So
fucking losers. But you got movies like that. So they're. There's a different few things that I always look at is like Reservoir Dogs. That's kind of a gangster movie.
Sure.
Heat.
Yeah.
All right. But do you call that an action movie or a mobster movie or a gangster movie?
It's a gangster. I mean, it's like a heist gangster movie. But then you talk about the genre based movies. Like here's a tremendously underrated one. And I can't believe I'm saying that I enjoyed it, because who would have ever thought that Tom Hanks could be a gangster? Ugh. But Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
I think it's a really excellent movie. I think he's okay, but Great Depression era, Irish mob type stuff. I think it's a freaking amazing. Paul Newman's in that movie. It's a great movie. I mean, Tom Hanks is a gangster. Kind of hard to believe it, but like those genre, I know you like those, I think, a little bit more than me.
I do.
Like the period piece type things.
Yeah. They tried it with Bugsy, which won a few awards. It is slow as all fuck.
I think the best example of a period piece is The Untouchables. I mean, to me, that's like,
which
fucking
the whole story is all fucking fucked up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
None of that is based on reality.
No.
That's not what happened.
No, they turned Sean Connery's character into like fucking a superhero in that movie, which is great, but
Frank Nitti, who's a huge mobster, and one of the famous things about him, he's an Italian mob guy, killed himself.
Yep.
Which you don't usually see that happening to a mob guy.
Right. Right.
He didn't get thrown off the fucking building for shooting Sean Connery.
Right, right.
By what's his name? So
right.
There's just a lot of hyperbole and nonsense. And then
you got other movies like where you're talking gangster organized crime, but not like mob, but like something like The Usual Suspects, right? Like that's.
Yeah. Those are the type, the layer cakes, the snatches, the other one. What's that other one? Lock, Stock and Barrel, whatever the fuck. That.
Oh
one.
Yeah. 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 Like those
English.
They're not really organized crime, but they're just a bunch of shitbags.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction.
Like
gangsters.
Yep.
So then you get into the black type of gangster movies, The Menace of Society, Boys in the Hood, Hoodlum, and all those fucking type of movies. How about this old one that went on for way too fucking long? It was a Jewish mob, Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah, great movie that needed an editor.
Holy fuck, did that need an editor?
Isn't that movie like 9 hours long?
I don't know, but as Rye Guy would say, it had one of the great rape scenes in a movie he's ever seen.
Yeah, that's not going to be an upcoming episode. Don't worry.
Yeah.
The one thing I remember about Once Upon a Time in America, back in the old days of VHS, it came on, I think, two or three VHS cassettes.
You'd bring like a box home with you to watch that.
Yeah.
And I think his name was Noodles. Like, dude, you're not a tough guy with your nickname Noodles.
What about another one? Like, Public Enemies with freaking Johnny Depp. Like, they just, I think mobster, gangster, whatever. I think that genre of movie is so easy to fuck up. They're so easy to make, but they're so easy to fuck up.
How about this one? How about American Me? Fucking horrible fucking murders.
That's Latino gangs. That's like gangster prison shit.
American Me. Oh, yeah. That's one of the best scenes when they're fucking the animal song is playing. The guy's in the courtyard lifting. And the guy's just getting fucking shanked.
Oh, yep.
Man. Yep. Oh, how's this? Gangs of New York.
Oh, my God. Incredible. That movie is incredible.
Dude, what an incredible actor. What's his name is, huh?
Who, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of in that movie. Oh, my God, is he insane. And those fucking battles and fights and shit.
And we haven't talked about two of the biggest ones. I know you mentioned it briefly, but Casino, which I love. I know people's like,
Do you know how many people hold Sharon Stone in that movie against it? They fucking hate her in that movie.
Yeah, but that's her character. That's her
because
role.
There's way too much shit about her in that movie. Oh,
and her and James Wood are fucking just brutal in that movie. But that's the point.
And so this is the stuff that in Casino, they show it. They show that Pesci's character is fucking around with the other guy's wife, which you're not supposed to do.
Yep.
But they don't talk about that in Goodfellas, which is the real story.
Yes.
This big Paulie was fucking around with what's his name's wife? Yeah. Henry Hill's wife. Paulie was fucking her.
Right.
So
there's
a lot of that shit that they don't tell about the story and stuff. Maybe to just I don't know. I think it would be juicy to put that in there. But
here's another one that I love. It kind of goes under the radar. I think time has been kind to it, but it's got the gangster stuff. But I love it because it's got the family aspect. And it's specifically got the father-son aspect, and that is A Bronx Tale.
You love that movie.
Absolute. Chaz Palminteri, absolutely incredible. De Niro, his little boy. Like, it's such a great movie. It's got the mob stuff, you know, the gang stuff, the family stuff. You know, that father-son relationship, you know, being the father to a son and just that kind of dynamic about the kid sees, you know, the flashy gangster and then his dad's driving a bus in New York City. Like, that's just such an underrated movie. It's amazing.
Yeah, Chaz Palminteri. He's just one of those, like, I can't take it. Like, if there was somebody else doing that role or
I see what you mean.
That kid is fucking annoying with his voice. He talked like this at that moment. He made the wrong mistake.
You think Mickey Mantle cares?
And the big fat guy comes out of the thing and squishes the guy against the bar of the bike. It just,
I love
Bronx Tale. That kid annoys me. And then he gets fucking shot up in The Sopranos while drinking an orange soda.
That's right. Yep.
Hey, T, can I have a soda? Is that what you want? Your own drink glass? You fucking punk. And he shoots. Oh, it's awesome. That motherfucker, I think, ended up being in a real life. That actor ended up being in some sort of murder spree against a cop and went to jail for like, I don't know how many years.
Wow.
You know that? Yeah. He went to jail. He got caught in a fucking like felony murder. Somebody else when he was with drugs and shit. I don't know. Messed up. But which leads me to two other things I want to bring up. And that is the TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think if you're listing things, you got to put in The Sopranos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, classic mob story plus the family story about a modern day type Godfather situation. The comedy that's in there, the storytelling, the cruelty of being in the Italian mob, people that you love and characters that you grew with the show loving, and all of a sudden they're fucking dead. It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I think that when you try to explain to people about The Sopranos, because I was late to the party. I mean, I watched it because I didn't have HBO for a long time and I got HBO Max. So I flew through it, you know, a year or so ago. And I think the thing that makes it so dynamic is it's not just the mob stuff. It's the family stuff. It's a guy that's like in therapy, struggling with his marriage, struggling with his, him being a father to him being in the mob. You know, it's, I mean, if you haven't seen The Sopranos by now, I don't know. I mean, again, I admit I was late to the party, but
yeah, he never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
it's so good. It's
and then
so
the other one that
good.
I will say, and I could like it as much as The Sopranos, and that's my opinion, and that is Boardwalk Empire. For me, yep. I will take that over The Sopranos. I will take that over.
Really? Anything. Okay. Okay.
You know, I'm a big history buff. It has all the makings of the origins of the mob, the Italian, the Irish, everything, the Germans, everything from prohibition to historical things that are happening in the country back then. Oh,
yep.
Fascinating. The acting, because, you know, these are HBO shows. So whoever comes in these things is going to have a, be a tremendous actor.
Oh, yeah.
Be in there for a little bit and then be out. Unbelievable. Boardwalk Empire is incredible. And it's like the beginning of the commission and how they formed and the territories. And it's just incredible. And no, you do not think of what he call it as Steve Buscemi as a mob boss, but he is a slimy politician who
yeah.
uses mobsters against each other mm-hmm. to build his own empire, hence Boardwalk Empire. And it all stemmed from a famous photo on the boardwalk
mm-hmm.
where like he's walking, I believe, and he's there, Capone and a few other mob guys in their early, early days. And they're walking. They're like, huh, how the fuck did that? And they realize that, you know, gambling and all the stuff on the Eastern Seaboard, that came from Atlantic City. And
yep.
that's where all the trade and all that shit was coming from.
Yep.
And how much of an impact he had. And it's a true life story. That's obviously moved along for storytelling purposes, but it's fucking incredible.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh my God. It's
I will though. I'll get on it. I'll get on it.
So fucking good. But yeah, I mean, those are our kind of movies. So in end, let's run through 10 of our own like favorites.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
We've mentioned most of them, but go ahead. What's your number 10, Tom?
All right. So just for the sake of, you know, I always like to have my self-imposed rules. I'm not putting the Godfather movies or Goodfellas on here because they're kind of on an island. They're on everybody's list. So I got a list of 10 here. Really no particular order. Mentioned some of these here. So I'm just going to, I guess we'll start 10 to 1 or whatever. Again, they're really no particular order. But I'm going to put Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. Obviously, that movie's insane.
Yeah.
When we saw it in college, it changed everything for us.
There was nothing like that movie when it came out.
All of a sudden now we weren't looking at what was in the box office. Now we're looking, digging deep for like independent movies.
Well, plus that was one of the first real movies that went mainstream where like the beginning of the movie was the middle of the movie was the end. Like the whole thing was all fucked up. You're like, what is happening here right now? You know, just incredible. And as incredible as it is, it's still not even close to Tarantino's best movie. We'll do an episode on Tarantino maybe in the future too.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to stick to my thing where, I mean, some of the movies that we you're not going to mention, I'm going to throw them out there because I need them on my list.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put out, I'll put Goodfellas just to put it on my list.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't have to tell you. It's just,
of course.
Yeah. It's the quintessential movie about loss, the mob, and the life.
Yep. It's amazing. Amazing. I mentioned this before. I'm going to go with Usual Suspects. I think the thing that makes that movie is I love ensemble cast movies when everybody carries their own weight. They each offer something different. And then, of course, one of the greatest twists in the history of twist endings is Kaiser Soze. That fucking movie is incredible. And it still has that rewatchability factor, even though you know how it ends.
Yeah, Usual Suspects is great. Again, another one of those. Everything's changing.
Yeah,
I always feel like we went to college at the right fucking time.
I'm
music,
with you.
Movies,
yep.
The 90s, man. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Number 9 for me, I'm going to go with Carlito's Way.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention that. Nice.
I fucking love that. Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
See, I don't know this movie as well as you do. I've seen it. And I know it. But I know that you love this one.
Oh, it's a great movie. That pool hall scene with Pacino is fucking incredible.
You know that they made like some bullshit sequel to that?
Yeah, because they're like, fuck, we should have killed this guy. This guy could have been awesome for a fucking
exactly. Yeah.
Carlito's Way is a great fucking movie with Pacino. Yep. And obviously I still think he's the best mob guy. He can do everything.
Of course, yeah.
Puerto Rican, Cuban, Italian, you name it.
Yep. Yep. I'm gonna go with Heat because I think it's got De Niro, Pacino. The first time they were on screen together was in that movie. And of course, you can't dismiss Val Kilmer's performance in that. One of the all-time great shootout scenes in the history of film is in Heat. I remember, speaking of VHS, I had that VHS and it was a double VHS because the movie's just around 3 hours long, I believe.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Oh, so good.
Because she's got a great kiss. And you got your head way up in it.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Number eight for me, I'm going to go with Snatch.
Okay. I don't know if I may have seen that when it first came out.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I know. That's what I've heard. Yeah, I don't know it that well. I think I did see it when it first came out.
Yeah, it's got such a great ensemble.
Yeah.
It's a Guy Ritchie movie. Poor guy ended up marrying fucking Madonna, and there goes his career. Jason Statham is in there. Stephen Graham, who ends up playing Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire. And he was the bad guy. He was the other guy in the Irishman that Pacino was always fighting with.
Yep.
Yeah, it's traffic. Yeah. 10 minutes. I took it into account. Yeah, 15 minutes. Well, I'm here anyways. Now, this is how you dress for a meeting? For a meeting? That guy, he's a fucking great actor. He's in that. And then Brad Pitt steals the whole fucking.
Oh, of course.
You know,
of course.
With playing that like wicked
Cockney.
Yeah, he's got that Cockney accent.
Yep.
And, you know, and it takes off right off after Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. So it's a great movie. You got Vinnie Jones in it, Dennis Farina, who I love.
He's amazing. Yeah.
So it's a great movie. You guys should go catch Snatch.
All right, here's one we didn't mention yet that really flies under the radar because it involves the mob, but it starts off kind of interesting. Flies under the radar. I think I believe it had a couple of Academy Award nominations. Yeah, it did. This is A History of Violence.
Yes.
With Viggo Mortensen. William Hurt was nominated for Academy Award. Ed Harris. Yeah, so Viggo Mortensen plays a guy that's changes his name, start his life over, you know, with his family. But his past comes back to haunt him. He gets visited by some of his old guys and come to find out that he's in the old Irish mob. And it's just an incredible movie. It's very underrated. It's got Ed Harris, William Hurt, Maria Bello.
She was hot.
Plays his wife. And of course, Viggo Mortensen, very underrated actor. So A History of Violence.
Is that the one she puts on a cheerleading outfit?
Yes, indeed.
Good one. Number seven for me, Tom. I'm going to go with The Irishman.
Okay.
A little bit long.
It is.
I wish they did it 10 years ago. De Niro and them look a little bit, especially De Niro looks a little too old. When you see the movie and Joe Pesci goes, "Hey, kid, come over here, dude."
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing here? Hey, kid.
Yeah. Exactly. I know. Exactly.
But the acting is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Storytelling is phenomenal. Too bad most of it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But I know a lot about the background story, the Columbo family and all that stuff and crazy Joe Gallo and all. There's a lot of fun, interesting historical stuff in there. It's their last crack at it, you know, kind of like, let's get them out. Let's get one good movie in there. And they hit it. I think they hit it out of the park. It's just a matter of like all the other great movies you have to compare it to. And that's when it suffers. But if you look at it in and of itself, it's a fucking great movie.
Great movie. Nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards. Yeah, it was a great movie. And it had that cheesy CGI special effects to make De Niro look younger at the beginning of the movie. Yeah, I'm like, the fuck am I watching right now?
Yeah. And then he's like, when he's beating the guy, when he's on the ground and he's kicking him like fucking, he's kicking him like an 80-year-old man would be kicking somebody.
Yeah.
It looked bad.
Of course. Irishman, that's my number six. Yep, that's definitely on my list. So,
okay. So for me, number six, I'll go with Pulp Fiction.
Nice.
I remember seeing it at the movies. I went with Lynchy. Mm-hmm. When it came out, that movie, we went to Westgate in Brockton.
You could have been a feature film of your own gangster movie going to see it in that theater.
In Brockton.
Jesus.
And I remember walking out going, holy fuck. What did we just see?
And I think I remember you guys coming back on campus and being like, dude, what the fuck? We just saw Pulp Fiction. Like,
I'm like, well, at one point somebody's getting fucking ass raped. But I can't tell you how incredible Samuel L. Jackson is till this day in that role.
Oh my God.
How he didn't get an Academy Award is beyond belief.
I know.
Just that whole, when he first walks in the vibe, hey man,
yep.
Relax.
Like, yep.
And then he pulls that. I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing. It's and incredible. Then you're like, oh,
shit.
Yep. I fuck with this guy. Fucking insane.
Incredible. My number five, Untouchables. I just think the acting, the characters. I love a fat De Niro playing Al Capone.
I want him dead.
I want his whole family dead.
I want his house burned to the ground.
Yeah, it's so. I mean, Sean Connery's insane. Kevin Costner. It's a great fucking movie, and I love those kind of period piece.
Now, what's your real name?
Yeah, it's so good. Andy Garcia. What a cast. So good.
Yep. Number five for me. I'm going to go with The Sopranos.
Okay.
The series itself.
Yeah.
Incredible. I mean, the actors just. Everyone has a different favorite actor or favorite scene. And that whole, I mean, for me, it's Paulie Walnuts. I can't get enough of him always bitching and complaining about shit. And then when he loses his shoe in the snow chasing the
fuck. Oh my God.
Czechoslovakian. He's an interior decorator. And then Chris goes, really? His place looked like shit.
it's so good.
Oh, man. Fucking incredible. The Sopranos for me.
It is. Before I continue with my number four, I want to give a special shout out. It's not going to make my top 10 to one of the great comedy related gangster movies of all time. And that
Jerky
is the,
Boys.
No. Michael Keaton's greatest role, Johnny Dangerously.
Yes!
That movie should be number one on my list, but I had to get that in there. You shouldn't shoot me. You shouldn't hang me on a hook.
He's breakdancing. Oh, his mom's like 20 or something. She looks like...
Wow, Johnny, I've never seen anyone dance like that.
That's a good one.
All right. Anyways, so I just had to get that because I fucking love that movie. Number four for me, I'm going to go with one that we haven't mentioned yet, a really old Scorsese movie with De Niro, Mean Streets.
Yeah.
Boom. Yep.
Yeah.
Love that. Harvey Keitel. Ah, so good.
He's not even the star in that.
No.
Keitel is.
De Niro. Yeah. Keitel's the big guy in that movie, but love that. I love those. The 70s were so fucking good for those kinds of movies like that, especially the early 70s. Ah, love it.
Yeah. And then you get into eventually they'll end up doing the whole trifecta. But
yeah.
Anyways, number three for four for me. And that's Boardwalk Empire. As I mentioned, the history behind it, the storytelling, the acting is incredible. Scorsese directed directed the first episode. It's in fucking sane. When they show you the first episode and they're all meeting and they're like, and they're saying, boom, like now it's illegal to drink and everything. And all the mobster guys are now like, this is something new that we can do. And the old mobster's like, I'm not dealing with that shit. And then they fucking whack him at the end of the movie. Like, now here comes the real mobsters. They're like, we're making money from booze. That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Fucking incredible.
Nice. Let's see. Number three for me, I am going to go with Donnie Brasco.
Nice.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I'm not a huge Johnny Depp fan, but something about him in this movie, he nails it for me. And Pacino playing like that, just like that sad sack guy you feel bad for, you know, like it's such a well-made acted movie.
Yep. I love when they go, was it the Japanese? You have to take off your boots.
Oh, yeah.
Fraid is necessary.
Yes. Hey,
who won the fucking war?
Yeah,
I fucking beating the shit out of the poor Japanese guy.
Well, think about it. How else is he going to get out of that? He has to do something. Oh, he can't take his fucking boots off.
Afraid it's necessary. So since I was going to pick Brasco as three, I'm going to change it just so we can have this discussion. And that is Casino at three.
Okay, good. Yeah, all right.
So for me, the part about Casino that I really like is that one scene where fucking Pesci sits the fat banker down in his house and he's making drinks. De Niro's making the drinks and he's like, I think you got this all wrong. Let me tell you what I do.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to break your fucking head. And just about time, hopefully, you get out of your coma. Guess what? I'll be coming out of jail and I'll fucking break your head again wide open because jail don't scare me. I'm fucked in the head. That's what I do. Guy's like, ah!
I saw that movie at the Lexington Theater. You remember that little yes. tiny theater in downtown Lexington?
Yeah. Yep. My parents live right around the corner from
there
now.
Yeah. The thing about Casino, and of course I love it. The thing about Casino is it came out not that long after Goodfellas. You know, it's got De Niro. It's got Pesci.
It's the trifecta. They're back.
But it's a completely different movie. It's not Goodfellas at all.
The problem is it suffers from that because his character is so similar. But Correct. That guy is way worse.
Oh, absolutely.
Tommy DeSimone, whatever his name was.
Oh, absolutely.
In real life. That guy, Nicky, whatever, was insane.
Yep. Yep.
And the shit that he fucking did and putting people's head in vices and shit. Or when he walks in the casino. Oh, you over here? Yeah, I'm over here now. Oh, you're not with Carmine? No.
No.
Carmine's not here anymore. Carmine's not here no more. No. He's not here. No.
No.
Just that fucking, like, the fact that he just looks at him. The
tension.
And that this little actor that's about 5'2"
yeah.
is so intimidating to those other mobsters. Or yep. that other, you fat Irish prick, you better have my money.
It's so good.
All that shit. When he's dealing and they keeps losing, and then they like the lady's like, yeah, funny, huh? And they bring in the other guy. Oh, look at this beaut.
Yeah, like, oh, I love that.
Uncle Festa looking guy.
He just starts flipping out while he's playing cards. I love it. Oh, yep. So good. Number two for me, I'm going to go State of Grace. Just tremendously underrated with an A-list cast. I fucking love that movie. I mean, a young Sean Penn, a young Ed Harris, a young Gary Oldman. It's just such a great movie. Again, New York City. It's so good.
Yeah. A lot of those like Irish mob stuff don't get the credit that the Italian mobs do
You're right.
in their movie storytelling yep. because you don't get De Niro, Pacino,
exactly.
Scorsese and stuff, but there's yep. still great stories and movies.
Yep.
Number two, I'm going to have to go, and this will be opposite of number one. I'm going to go Godfather 2. I'll okay. put this as number two.
Okay. Yeah. See, like I said earlier, I left those off my list just to get a little bit more in there. And that, you know, that's obviously fine. You put yours in there.
The rent stays as before.
Yeah. Fucking love. But the best part is when the poor guy is trying to unlock the door yeah. to get out of the office. Yeah.
I kick your Sicilian ass all over the place. I'm practically paisans, right?
Oh, God, it's so good. And I'll tell you, I was so happy when my son, age 17 at the time, we watched 1 and 2 back to back, and he loved them both. Because there's nothing worse than showing your kids something that you love and having to be like, oh, what the fuck?
That's you mean what? Sonny It, the movie? Meh.
Oh, meh. Yeah. Please let me tell you right now, if Sonny was on this episode, his number one movie would be 8 Heads in a Duffel Bag. All right. So give me a break. Okay.
Actually, give me a break. Remember the episode where they fought against the mob?
Nell Carter. Beating everyone up with her big giant boobs.
Big old titties. That fucking Anchorman scene is in my head still.
My number one, I know you're not a big fan of it, but it touches a nerve with me, and that's Bronx Tale.
Yeah, I know.
I love that movie. Yeah.
The famous fucking biker scene is great.
Oh,
I just want to cook a couple cold ones. A couple cold ones.
Okay.
Yeah. I get it. I know you have affinity for it. And
yeah.
De Niro is... You know, De Niro as the sap, not the mobster, is hard.
But he does it well. He does it well.
It would have been better served if they had the roles reversed.
I agree. Yeah.
Right? It seemed more believable. I don't know.
It could be. Yeah, you could be right. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of Palminteri, but I thought he nailed it in that role.
I always find it hard when an actor like Pacino plays like a sap and some lower named actor is like yelling at him or putting him down or screaming at him. It doesn't seem like.
Like in Donnie Brasco.
Yeah. Like it doesn't seem like it worked. Same thing with De Niro. De Niro doesn't seem like a character, an actor that would be like fucking putting up with shit.
But the thing but you bring up a good point. The thing I like about Bronx Tale is, yeah, he's just a blue collar bus driver, but he takes no shit. He is not afraid of Chaz Palminteri. He gets in his face. He tells him, get the fuck away from my kid. I'm his father. This is my son. So I get it. Yeah, he's not the big bad mobster, but he also doesn't, you know, put his tail between his legs when he's confronted with the mobster. Nope, so I think that kind of gives him a little bit of weight behind the character. But I see what you mean for sure.
Well, number one is easy, Godfather. And that's the whole reason why we're having this discussion.
Yep, I agree.
Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, and probably the only non-Italian who fucking probably steals the movie, James Caan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Tom, mobster, action, gangster movies. There you have it.
We love it. It's great stuff. We're anxious to see what you guys think. Did we miss anything? Are we overrating anything, underrating anything? We want to hear from you guys on this one. So thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.